This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Accusing Russia again. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka. On this Thursday, June 3rd, glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The FBI says more cyber crooks with ties to Moscow are behind the latest ransomware attack that disrupted operations at the world's largest meat processor.
Rivals have agreed to form a new government in Israel, which means longtime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is likely on his way out.
President Biden is sweetening the pot to encourage COVID vaccinations by offering things like free childcare and beer.
And why some parts of the country have hotter job markets than others as we emerge from the pandemic.
There's some regions of the country that have extremely tight labor markets. It's very hard to find workers. And other places that are still really in the earlier parts of recovery mode.
Eric Morath at the Wall Street Journal on why it's so difficult to fill jobs. The days in office appear to be numbered for Benjamin Netanyahu, the longest-serving prime minister in the history of Israel. Opposition parties announced yesterday that they had reached a coalition agreement to form a government. The announcement could lead to the easing of a political impasse that has produced four elections in 2 years and left Israel without a stable government or a state budget. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The political shakeup comes as Israel tries to protect a fragile truce with Hamas, the Palestinian group labeled as a terrorist organization by the U.S. and others. If the government is sworn in within the next 2 weeks, Mr. Netanyahu would surrender power to the most diverse coalition in Israel's history, including an independent Arab party for the first time. The alliance would be led until 2023 by Naftali Bennett, a former settler leader who opposed a Palestinian state and wants Israel to annex the majority of the occupied West Bank. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Mr. Bennett, who's 49, by the way, is the son of American immigrants and a former software entrepreneur, army commando, and chief of staff to Mr. Netanyahu. USA Today quotes an observer who says Mr. Bennett would be a very awkward partner for President Biden because of his far-right views on Palestinian issues. Workers at the world's largest meat processing company have started returning to U.S. manufacturing plants a day after the company's beef operations stopped following a ransomware attack, disrupting meat production in North America and Australia. JBS, based in Brazil, controls about 20% of the slaughtering capacity for U.S. cattle and hogs. The FBI says the perpetrators of the ransomware attack that shut down some operations at JBS this week was a Russian-based cyber criminal group known for its attacks on prominent American companies. Texas Republican Congressman Pat Fallon on Fox Business.
We ought to define exactly what the critical infrastructure meant so we could actually try these folks and get a conviction and then up the penalties 30 years to life instead of just a year in prison. And then also have sanctions for governments that allow this to happen and facilitate it.
It's the third major attack this year tied to Russia. And White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said yesterday the JBS hack was expected to be discussed at President Biden's summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin in the middle of this month. The clock is ticking for the White House to reach its goal of having 70% of Americans either fully or partially vaccinated by the July 4th holiday. New government figures show some 63% of U.S. adults have currently received at least one vaccine shot. As part of that, President Biden yesterday announced new measures to help the effort.
Anheuser-Busch announced that beer is on them on July the 4th. That's right. Get a shot and have a beer. Free beer for everyone 21 years or over to celebrate the independence from the virus.
Anheuser-Busch's website, by the way, appeared to have crashed in the wake of the announcement. Meanwhile, some pharmacies will be open all night on Fridays to administer shots. Childcare centers are waiving fees for parents going for their vaccinations. Included are Bright Horizons, KinderCare, and Learning Care Group, as well as about 500 YMCA outlets in 28 states. There were no immediate details about which pharmacies would offer extended vaccination hours. Coming up next, the nation's hottest job markets.
As a business owner, you eventually realize you can't do everything yourself, but hiring is complicated. And what if you only need part-time help? Belay, an innovative staffing solution, has successfully matched thousands of businesses with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. Belay offers you a virtual support team that can transform your workday. Let Belay help you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, B-E-L-A-Y, solutions.com/deal. That's BelaySolutions.com/deal.
Thanks for being with us. The labor market recovery after the coronavirus pandemic and related shutdowns is playing out unevenly across the U.S., from states where there are five openings for every unemployed worker to several where historically high jobless rates persist. For example, the Northern Mountain West, the Plains, and Northern New England stand out as having especially tight labor markets, with about three open positions for every one unemployed job seeker in April. In-depth analysis from Eric Morath, economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Eric, what are you hearing?
We've been hearing from businesses all over the country that, you know, they can't fill the jobs. But we wanted to kind of see, is that really evenly distributed across the country? And found out, no, it's not. There's some regions of the country that have extremely tight labor markets. It's very hard to find workers. And other places that are still really in the earlier parts of recovery mode.
All right. So among the hot ones, Utah, the Dakotas, how come?
Yeah. So we saw out west, there's some extremely tight labor markets. We looked at like Utah, Idaho, Montana. Those, you know, they've seen a lot of activity and job growth in those states. A lot of people moved to those areas during the pandemic, and that kind of restarted their economies a little earlier than everywhere else. And then just a little bit to the east of there, the Dakotas through Kansas, those states are really driven by the fact that didn't really have the same level of restriction. So if restaurants or malls had to close, it was for a few months, and largely the businesses there were able to avoid, you know, shutting down or going out of business. And so those areas have fared much better because there were less restrictions on activity.
So are politics involved here? Is this the nature of less dense populations? What do we attribute this to?
Yeah, I think it's a combination. I mean, certainly less density, you know, allowed the politicians and officials to feel safer. But I will note, I mean, these areas, you know, weren't unscathed by COVID. In fact, some of them had the highest rates of cases in the country. So it's kind of a thing where the health outcomes and the economic outcomes are pretty different. These areas, though, did see COVID kind of come later, right? We saw it in out west and then in the New York area first. And at that point, you know, a lot of officials didn't really know what was going on and reacted very strongly. In some ways, the places in the Mountain West and the Plain states were able to take a little bit more time and make an assessment on how they wanted to move forward.
Yeah. We're speaking with Eric Morath, economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His story is called Why It's So Hard to Fill Jobs in Certain States. All right, so the more gradual job growth, as you mentioned, places like New York or Hawaii, explain their situations.
Yeah, very different. Hawaii is that's a very much a tourist dependent economy. And of course you can't drive there. So they're not even getting like areas like the Smoky Mountains saw a lot of tourists, because people wanted to take driving vacations, in the last year. So Hawaii, that's a tourism story and they're still slowly coming back. New York's different, right? So they had, you know, what we mentioned, the earliest restrictions. They also have the longest restrictions. It was only in the past month that, you know, indoor dining was allowed. So that's something, you know, a lot of jobs are tied to leisure and hospitality, and those are slowly coming back. Those are also New York and Philadelphia. They're very dense cities, and there's a lot of jobs associated with the people who commute into the cities.
So is it possible that like a New York or Hawaii ultimately could whipsaw pace-wise past those other states that had grown faster initially?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. So to some degree, I'd say, yes, it's possible, because in part we saw, if you would have looked at this map maybe 6 months ago, you might have seen the southern states as having the stronger labor market because the Deep South had even fewer restrictions in some cases than the Plain states and reopened even more quickly. And they've kind of got passed a little bit by the Midwest that's had this whipsaw effect. The question, though, with a place like New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, is did some businesses permanently close?
Thanks, Eric. Eric Morath, economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. By the way, investors are anticipating the May jobs report from the Labor Department tomorrow. April showed just 266,000 new jobs were created. That leaves the figures for May as one of the most important pieces of economic data due this month. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Dangling everything from sports tickets to a free beer, President Biden is looking for that extra something that will get people to roll up their sleeves for COVID-19 shots when the promise of a life-saving vaccine by itself hasn't been enough. Biden yesterday announced a month of action to urge more people to get vaccinated.
Getting the vaccine is not a partisan act. The science was done under Democratic and Republican administrations.
The Biden administration views June as a critical month in the path to normal.
Number two.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's opponents today announced they've reached a deal to form a new governing coalition, paving the way for the ouster of the longtime Israeli leader. The dramatic announcement came shortly before a midnight deadline and prevented what could have been Israel's fifth consecutive election in just over 2 years. The agreement still needs to be approved by Israel's parliament.
Number three.
A Florida man has become only the second person to enter a guilty plea for taking part in the storming of the U.S. Capitol building on January 6th. 38-year-old Paul Hodgkins admitted obstructing an official proceeding of Congress. The crane operator is one of at least 450 people charged in the riot. The New York Times says the Trump Justice Department secretly obtained the phone records of four of its reporters as part of a leak investigation. It's the third instance over the last month in which a news organization has disclosed that federal authorities seized the records of its journalists in an effort to identify sources for national security stories published during the Trump administration. Trainer Bob Baffert has been suspended for 2 years by Churchill Downs after an additional drug test of Medina Spirit confirmed the presence of a banned steroid in the Kentucky Derby winner system. Disqualification of Medina Spirit could be next. The Kentucky Horse Racing Commission is still completing its investigation before making that ruling. A coaching legend is calling it quits. Hall of Famer and the winningest coach in the history of Division I men's basketball, Mike Krzyzewski, says next season will be his last with the Duke program. He is built into one of college basketball's blue bloods. The school also named former Duke player and associate head coach John Shire as Krzyzewski's successor. The 74-year-old has led the Blue Devils to 5 national championships.
There's a guy like that going to retirement. He's, you know, so high octane, so intense, you know, so in the spotlight for decades.
He's looked kind of weary the last couple of years.
That's fair. That's fair, yeah. Hope he gets the needed rest. Thanks, Jen.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. Whoa! And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Whew. For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Millions of Americans, newly vaccinated and eager to get out, are planning to hit the road this summer. Others raring to go with their various vacations because they're back in vogue. But with so much pent-up demand, it will be very easy to spend more than you have and get into credit trouble later. How to strategize from Paul Oster, CEO of the credit repair firm Better Qualified, which is based in New Jersey. Paul, take us through it.
This is like no other summer and planning for a vacation. We are just so ripe with emotions and we have all this pent up energy, but we really have to be careful and make sure that we can afford to actually go away at this point in time.
Right, because it's easy, right? I've earned it. My family has deserves this, right? We've been cooped up for 15 months. We got to get away. That's an easy way to go.
It is, and we actually saw it over the holidays. People spent a little bit more money because they wanted to make sure that their kids, it's that thing, if I'm going to spend money on them, they're going to be a little bit happier. But we know that that's not always the case. So just make sure that you're on stable ground. If you've never done a budget, now is the time to do it. And you don't have to make this big, complicated budget. It's very simple. How much money comes in, how much money goes out, write it down, track it, and hopefully you have a little bit of money left over. And if you don't, this is the time to pull the troops together and say, okay, What are we going to cut? What expenses are we going to get rid of? Is it Netflix? Is it Spotify? Is it Sirius? Is it cable? And you do that for a certain period of time so you can actually afford to go away. So it's a great time to plan for the budget.
So is it as easy as, say, looking at that budget, looking at the vacation, saying, okay, we got to go Holiday Inn, not Four Seasons for the hotel?
So you can start to play with the length of the vacation. Maybe you cut down on a couple of days so you can spend a little more money every single day. There's a couple of different ways to approach it. How much money, what am I going to spend? $5,000 on the family vacation? How many days am I going to go away? And start to divide it out and figure it out. Airfare, hotels. Do I have to rent a car? You know, daily spending. And look, now is the time to consider using a travel agent. Most people think it's going to cost you more money. I don't want to hire a travel agent. Now is the time because they're the ones that are coming up with the best deals. They'll wind up saving you tons of cash. Mm. Look at those rewards points. I mean, most of us just have those rewards points sitting on our cards. We never use the darn things. So maybe that's the time to do it. Maybe now's the time to look at a balance transfer for 0% interest rate for 18 to 24 months. And then have the plan to actually pay off the vacation if you have to finance it. Hopefully you don't have to do that. But if you have to, you know, have a plan in place to pay it off as soon as possible. And now is the time to look at, you know, maybe you need to book a fully refundable trip. Look, I hope everything goes in the right direction, and it seems to be. But what if there's a monkey wrench?
Thanks, Paul. Paul Oster, CEO of Better Qualified in New Jersey. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Taking the day's information and helping you make sense of it all. We're here for you every morning. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, June 3. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines, free beer and child care, and extended pharmacy hours are among the new incentives to get you vaccinated. Benjamin Netanyahu likely out as Prime Minister of Israel. Congressman Jim Jordan calling for Dr. Anthony Fauci to answer questions before Congress about his emails. Three police officers from Delaware hospitalized after being shot during a call late last night. University of Virginia has hired Robert Mueller to teach a course about his Trump investigation. And a lost wallet returned 20 years later. That story in about 20 minutes. The weekend ransomware attack that left JBS, the world's largest meat processor, hobbled, has CEOs around the globe asking, am I next? It also raises the question, is there a foolproof defense against these attacks? Yesterday, we learned of cyber attacks on New York and Massachusetts transportation systems. You'll recall the one JBS came just weeks after a similar attack on Colonial Pipeline, the U.S.'s largest refined fuel pipeline operator. A deep dive now from Rob Enderle, principal tech analyst at the Enderle Group. Rob, what about today's ransomware?
Well, Russia actually has a number of companies that produce ransomware, and it's good stuff. I mean, relatively easy to install, doesn't require a lot of support, very effective, and they treat it like we treat guns. As long as you're not using it to commit a crime in Russia, you're perfectly okay to manufacture this stuff and sell it to third parties who can do whatever they want with it. And if they want to do something illegal, that's their problem.
Jeez. All right. So this is entrepreneurship, you know, but not on the up and up.
Yeah. Well, it's as up and up as selling any weapon. I mean, it's basically that they treat it like you would treat any type of weapon sale. It's not illegal to have the weapon. It's illegal to do something illegal with it. And in country. So because they don't tend to enforce the laws of other countries, they're just concerned about the laws inside their own. So it's that same kind of approach, and it is those industrial level ransomware products that we're seeing roll out to the market. And then there are companies that form around them, much like DarkSide, which is the company that took out the Colonial Pipeline. That was a company that formed itself around it, and they then send out the ransomware and the infect a company, and then they get a ransom. And that's some of the scary stuff, because I was just talking about this with Deep Instinct, which is a security firm out of Israel, that one of the few firms that builds a product like Cylance that is AI based and can respond to these things on the fly. So they've been talking about it a lot, but it's been getting worse. So what they will often do is they'll try to figure out which companies will pay. So they'll start off with their first attack, and they'll charge you $15,000 to fix it. Then the next attack, more like $45,000, $50,000. Then the next attack, $280,000 or so. Yeah. And the next attack gets into seven figures, because you've established that you'll pay, and that they'll keep hitting you to see how much you'd be willing to pay. And they're not even hitting you in the same way, depending on the firm.
We're speaking with Rob Enderle, principal and founder of the Enderle Group. We're talking about ransomware. Is there such thing as a foolproof defense these days?
The best stuff out there is the artificial intelligence stuff, the stuff that looks for unusual behavior. I mentioned Deep Instinct out of Israel, BlackBerry Cylance out of Canada. Those are probably the two platforms that are the most effective at capturing the act before it happens. They tend to look at the behavior of users, and ransomware goes in. It tends to take over the admin rights of a particular user, and then it starts executing in an encryption script, so that it goes through and encrypts all the data. Typically tied to escalation of privileges. So if you've got, for instance, somebody that's an accountant in the accounting department, and suddenly they start accessing, you know, broad swaths of data, that'd be a behavioral trigger, and the software tends to cut them off immediately and stop the damage, and flag it. Do be aware that some of these more recent ransomware attacks, what they do first is they go in and they corrupt the backups, and then only once the backups are corrupted do they encrypt the primary data sources. So you're not even aware, unless you try to restore and find out your backup files no longer exist or encrypted, you're not aware of the breach when it first happens. You're only aware of it when you lose the data, and by then it's gone too far to recover. So that's why it's really important that you put in some type of protection to stop this stuff before it does damage, because the typical ways you'd find out about an attack, by the time you find out about the attack, it's too late, and you don't have any way to recover. And that's why these people are paying the ransoms, because we're talking about, you know, having to recreate the entire data structure for the company so it can continue to operate.
Nice. Rob Enderle, principal and founder of the Enderle Group. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. In the sport of business, we're all players, and with the game always changing, you need to be versatile. So does your wardrobe. You want both style and comfort to look as good as you feel inside the office or out. That's what Cuts Clothing is all about. Cuts Clothing keeps you sharp wherever the game takes you, from the boardroom to the bar to the gym. How? They reinvented men's clothing, starting with the t-shirt. Their Pika Tri-Blend fabric is buttery soft, wrinkle-free, and keeps its shape. Everything I've worn from Cuts is next-level comfort. Their polos, hoodies, and crew sweatshirts, all classics, made modern with custom-engineered fabrics you have to wear to believe. So versatile, you'll never need to take them off, and so comfortable, you won't want to. It's not just the lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's office leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the Mic Drop with This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, you've no doubt heard that it's the summer of the cicadas in many parts of the country, with billions of the bugs emerging from a 17-year slumber to take over the trees. Some people have, for some reason, taken to eating the creatures, and we even told you about a candy company that's frying and dipping the insects in chocolate. There is one caveat, however, and we learned that thanks to the FDA. The FDA's official Twitter account posted the following yesterday afternoon. Yep, we have to say it. Don't eat cicadas if you're allergic to seafood, as these insects share a family relation to shrimp and lobsters.
Really?
Apparently. This proclamation no doubt came as a disappointment to at least a few people who were looking forward to chowing down on cicadas. For many more, it was an opportunity to shake their heads. One person commenting on the FDA's tweet wrote, how about don't eat cicadas if you're a human? Another wrote, I'm not allergic to seafood. Don't tell me it means I have to eat cicadas. And one person has their eye on you if you're snacking on the bugs, writing, people talk about disqualifying traits in people. Pretty sure I saw cicadas and thought, yeah, I should eat that is pretty disqualifying from just about everything.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know they were connected to shrimps and lobsters, well, perhaps even a distant cousins or whatever.
Yeah, well, there were some, you know, amateur scientists who then chimed in and said, well, the, you know, the relation goes back like 300 million years or something like that. So it's a very distant relationship, to say the least. So I guess, I don't, there might be, perhaps one person did get sick who's allergic to shellfish, and, you know, maybe that's what caused this. I don't know.
All right. So don't break out the melted butter or the cocktail sauce.
Yeah.
And try to connect cicadas to
the
shellfish.
That's something we hadn't heard about, though. We heard about the frying and the chocolate dipping. We hadn't heard about the, you know, cocktail sauce, tartar sauce, something like that.
Sorry.
I mean, which, like, another way to serve them, perhaps.
Well, perhaps.
Yeah.
There's not something I will be trying on my own.
Yeah.
If somebody with more kitchen experience than myself were to prepare these things.
Right.
Yes, and ate them, I might try them.
Now, as I say often, you know, if someone else buys it, I'll try it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to buy it, but I'm not even going to try this if you buy it.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
What if it was like an official cicada tasting party?
I'm not going to be there, most likely.
No?
Yeah,
right.
So you can be there by yourself.
Okay.
And we know, Gordon, that being a Karen isn't what it used to be, as the name has become synonymous with difficult or entitled people in recent years. Not exactly the kind of moniker you'd like to saddle your newborn baby with. So it's not surprising that Karen has fallen way down the rankings of newborn baby names. According to the Social Security Administration, only 325 baby girls were named Karen last year, down from a high of 33,000. In 1965. To be fair, Karen had fallen out of popularity long before the name was dragged through the mud, but still managed to drop 171 spots last year alone, from 660th all the way down to number 831.
Wow.
Yeah.
How the Karens have fallen.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking about this with Jennifer out in the newsroom. I mean, I've been a parent now for, you know, almost 13 years, and I can't remember the last time I've seen a child named Karen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a long time coming, the reckoning for the name Karen, way before we, you know, started associating with other things.
It's now Kylie.
Oh, yes.
Or Kayla.
Right. That's
how Karen has morphed.
Plenty of other K names out there, but, you know, Karen definitely not on the list.
So of the 325 babies named Karen.
Yeah.
How many of those 325 were just like, I don't care, and we're reversing the Karen image?
Yeah, right? There's always a contrarian out there, right?
Thanks, Mike.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you. And to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be.
For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday. If you're hoping to visit a specific national park this summer, don't expect to just show up. Some of the most popular ones are requiring reservations as they continue to be a destination of choice for many of us after more than a year of social distancing and isolation. A new Park Service campaign is called Plan Like a Park Ranger. USA Today says some of their tips include be patient with each other and with us. The vast majority of our 423 national park sites are open, but some sites, like historic homes with tight interiors, still may be closed. COVID mitigation efforts include requiring visitors who are not fully vaccinated to wear face masks inside park buildings and crowded outdoor spaces. Another tip, leave only footprints. Cape Cod National Seashore reported an uptick in rule violations like vandalism and littering early in the pandemic. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The FBI has identified Russia-linked ransomware group Reval as the entity responsible for the cyber attack that forced meat producer JBS to shut down all of its beef plants. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says this attack and a previous one targeting Colonial Pipeline will be topics later this month at a meeting between President Biden and Russia's Putin.
This will certainly be a topic of discussion that harboring criminal
entities that are intending to do harm, that are doing harm to the critical infrastructure in the United States is not acceptable. We're not going to stand by that. We will raise that, and we are not going to take options off the table.
Number two.
For nearly an hour, President Biden and the top Senate Republican negotiating infrastructure met behind closed doors yesterday, but they emerged with few outward signs of tangible progress ahead of a deadline next week. The White House billed the meeting as a more of a conversation with West Virginia GOP Senator Shelley Moore Capito rather than a formal negotiation.
Number three.
Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin's defense attorney says his client should receive no prison time or far less than the maximum sentence for murdering George Floyd, in part because he is the product of a broken system. Chauvin is sentenced, set to be sentenced June 25th and faces a maximum sentence of 30 years in prison. Deputies in Volusia County, Florida, shot a 14-year-old girl on Tuesday night after she and a 12-year-old boy fled a group home, broke into a house, found multiple guns inside, and then opened fire on deputies. Sheriff Mike Chitwood.
She was arrested, and much to Sheriff Staley's dismay, she was released right back into her family. That was on April 10th.
The girl was shot in the abdomen and the arm and is in stable condition. The boy surrendered and was not injured. We've heard a lot about Mars lately, but now NASA is turning its attention to Venus. NASA says two missions to the planet will be part of its Discovery program and will take place at the end of the decade. One will study the planet's atmosphere, which could shed light on whether Venus once had an ocean. The other mission will study the planet's surface in hopes to learn why it developed so differently than Earth.
Wow. Elon Musk on line one. We're going to Venus.
Yeah, right.
Next gen. Coming up next, a lost wallet returned after 20 years.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. A Scottish man recently got a blast from the past with a wallet he lost two decades ago. Ryan Seymour, who's now 37, lost his wallet at a pub in 2001, finally recovered it last weekend. The New York Post says Mr. Seymour was first contacted by Dunfermline police in late April about the recovered item. The message he received described an embossed black wallet that contained a work pass and cards, which expired in 2004. When Mr. Seymour finally retrieved his long-lost wallet, he found it still held his Bank of Scotland ID card and a local library card, among other things. He said in a tweet that no cash remained. He figured he had around $85 in the wallet. The elusive wallet in question was stolen at the Elizabethan, a pub and restaurant in the town of Dunfermline, Scotland. Mr. Seymour wrote he accidentally left the wallet behind in a toilet cubicle 20 years ago. The wallet was found sitting in bushes not far from the pub before it was turned in. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.